was 2 weeks ago exactly at this time that I was standing here, and I said to the Talmidim with a tremendous, tremendous excitement, what a simcha it is that we're going back to Miron. Last week, we were on the bus together at exactly this time. Got off the bus. This week now, how much do I appreciate the beautiful Ma'ariv that Rafi davened right before we started walking up the mountain. When was the last time I appreciated Rafi's Ma'ariv? It's always beautiful. But when did... At that moment, there were a zillion things that were going through my mind. But now, as I look back, and knowing what would happen 2 hours later, but at that time it was Rafi's davening another Ma'ariv. This past Shabbos when I spoke in Shul, I was just going through post-trauma. There are many people who saw many things that were much worse than what I saw. But those of us who were still on the mountain saw, almost everybody saw terrible things. And so, just at the beginning of this week, there's a reason why we have Rabbanim, Manhigim, people who are a lot older than us, a lot wiser than us, to guide us. It was only on Monday, I believe, that when Rav Miller Shlita spoke to the Kollel, I wasn't able to be there, but I heard what he said, that I was able, on some level, to put some thoughts together that are based entirely on what he said, that's relevant to not only being in a state of post-trauma and loss and tragedy and pain. And so I apologize to the Grus fellows who heard this already, but I want to share with the Torah Shraga what our Rosh Kollel said for the first 2 or 3 minutes, and then see how we could apply his ideals that come from a very high and pure place. Maybe I could bring it down a little bit to us, the Hamon Am, together. Rav Miller pointed out that the sequence of events of this past year, of being separated, and that excitement of coming back together, that tremendous simcha of coming back together, reminded him of the distance that Klal Yisrael had felt with the Aron in Shmuel Bey's Perek Vav. And the Aron is taken away, and Klal Yisrael is davening and davening and davening, and finally there's an opportunity to bring it back. And when it's brought back, so there the pasuk describes that there was a tremendous simcha. V'dovi v'chol beis Yisrael mesachkim lefnei Hashem b'chol atzev roshim. They were dancing in front, and then something happened. They had gotten too close. Without discussing the particular Aveira of Uzzah, or however one describes what happened, Vayishlach Uzzah el Aron Alakim, Vayicharaf Hashem b'Uzzah v'yakeh Hashem. So in all that tremendous excitement of going back, we cross boundaries, and when we cross boundaries, HaKadosh Baruch Hu had to strike us down. Rav Miller points out that it almost repeats itself again. The exact same phenomenon when the Aron is brought down back a second time from Oved Edom. There it says that again David danced. And it says, David was dancing again. But Rav Miller Shlita pointed out that there's a difference between the way in which David danced the first time and Klal Yisrael danced the first time versus the second time. And that is, Vayihi kitzadu noisei aroin Hashem shisha tzadim. Vayizbach Sharumari, and the pasuk says that they blew the kol shofar. Six steps, and then brought a carbon. Stopped. Six steps, brought a carbon and stopped. And each time they blew the shofar. The difference between the two times is that the first time there was a simcha that was unbridled. It was a simcha that was full of emotions, excitement. The way I mamish could relate, because 2 weeks ago that's exactly how I was feeling. It was rushing back. And the whole lesson, Rav Miller argued, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu was trying to tell us during the period of Corona, is to realize that we have to do everything slowly and methodically, not to assume too far ahead, and realize that every breath is a gift, every day is a gift, and to be sensitive to the fragility, those are his words, be sensitive to the fragility of life. The shofar, of course, represents reminding ourselves who we really are, the neshama, the chelek elokam imam. I discussed with Rebbe afterwards that, of course, the first time it says David was mesamech, he was rejoicing. But the second time it says V'dava mecharker b'chol oiz l'fnei Hashem. Nefesh HaChaim describes in detail T'nu oiz l'elokim, that a person, when he's connected to his neshama, when he's connected to his oiz, he becomes one with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But if he doesn't put in balance his emotions, then chas v'chalila could go to places that are unprotected, unchartered, and dangerous. And that approach to Avodas Hashem, that a person takes six steps forward and then stops and asks themselves, that is an approach in recognizing who is in control. But it's just as important in terms of Bein Adam L'Chaveiro. In other words, an individual, as we've discussed in the Igeres HaRamban in the past, an individual who stops and asks themselves deep and hard questions, what does HaKadosh Baruch Hu want? That individual asks themselves two questions. One is about their relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and the other is the honor and respect of other people, because they go hand in hand. Because the honor and respect and the dignity of every single person is dignity towards God. It's the Chelek El Kam Imal. Rav Osai, my sensitivity was missing. About a half hour, 45 minutes before the one of the greatest calamities of our modern history, I was standing outside of the Tzion of Rashbi, and there was a boy that was taken out in a stretcher. You didn't hear about it in the news, because I think he ended up living. But because of the dochek, because of the pressure over there, nothing to do with the stampede that took place a half hour later. There was a boy that was taken out unconscious. I remember I saw it, and I was very taken aback. And then eventually went to go dance. Rav Kunstler showed me that there's footage of me dancing with my son about 200 feet away at the exact same moment. Now, if that hadn't happened, the awful tragedy hadn't happened, would I have gone back to Miron next year? The fact that I was part of something that ultimately had someone that was being pulled out in a stretcher, I don't know if I would have hopped myself. I don't know if I would have grabbed myself. And Rav Miller said to us that he thinks that HaKadosh Baruch Hu was telling us that we haven't taken the steps to have the sensitivity of the fragility of life klape HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and recognizing HaKadosh Baruch Hu in our lives. And a person who recognizes the sensitivity of HaKadosh Baruch Hu in their lives, ultimately they refine their sensitivity towards other of their lives. And Rav Meir Tzvi Bergman, Rav Shach's son-in-law, I look to my Rabbeim, I look to our Manhigim for Hadracha. I can't make sense of this, but I'm just repeating what my Rabbeim say. Rav Meir Tzvi Bergman said very, very sharply. He said at the end of the day, what happened was a Ritzicha of 45 Neshamos Tahoros. It was Ritzicha be'onis. It was entirely an onus. But at the end of the day, there was a Ritzicha that we experienced. And that's part of the awful tragedy over here. There was no enemy. The enemy was ourselves. We ourselves, as pure Onsim, were blocking those who were trying to save. And Rav Meir Tzvi says that at the end, he believes, it's not for me to say, but he believes that's because that we were killing each other emotionally beforehand. And whatever he was referring to is not important. But what he was saying, what Rav Shach's son-in-law was saying, was that at the end of the day, there is a kitshrug on Klal Yisrael that started already from the period of Corona, where there were sensitivities that were lost. Rav Miller made reference to the unbridled reaction, the moment in which a person could break through those mechitzos, break through those gedarim, with a certain lack of sensitivity. The Rosh Kolo feels a certain way, he didn't mention this, a certain lack of sensitivity. So it seems to be that based on what my Rebbeim were saying, that one of the things that we have to work on in the aftermath of going through this tremendously awful period is a sensitivity towards others. There's absolutely no coincidence that this happened on the day that we were supposed to celebrate Noagu Kavod Zebezeh, the time in which Rabbi Akiva's Talmidim had stopped dying, that what had happened was that we were about to celebrate together. Lag BaOmer was all about that expression of Achdus that we spoke about 2 weeks ago. And the unfathomable happened where we killed each other, Ba'ones Gamur. And every single one of us that was there, every single one of us that's part, every single one of us that's part of Klal Yisrael, it's a tviya on us, a sensitivity, a greater sensitivity to others. If HaKadosh Baruch Hu made it in the day that we're supposed to celebrate Klal Yisrael, the unity of Klal Yisrael, and this happens. So I'd like to discuss three things about that sensitivity. I alluded to when I started out appreciation, how much I appreciated Rafi's davening that I took for granted in the past. Because there was a moment in which Rav Berblowski and I got a list of Talmidim that were still missing an hour later. I'm not Zocha to know all the Shana Aleph guys, both by name and by face. Most of the Shana Bet guys, I know both the names and faces together. But Akiva Kalati, who's not able to be here tonight, Akiva Kalati I know since he was quite young, and Akiva's name was on the list. And of all the awful things that I experienced, I just wanted to see Akiva smile again. The fear, the beauty of Akiva's smile, what's become legendary from Donny Morris, Zichrono Livracha, is that picture that he looks like a malach, standing, his face is radiating, standing with the background of hundreds, thousands of Jews. We appreciate it now. Klal Yisrael talks about 45 tzaddikim from all different segments of Klal Yisrael. But those 45 tzaddikim, I believe actually that they were tzaddikim. But who would have noticed, who notices what tzaddikim these people were? That beautiful, beautiful picture of Donny would have just disappeared into the billions and billions of megabytes that somehow exist in some cloud somewhere. When was the last time we really, really appreciated the smile of somebody, the radiance of somebody? How I was so looking just to see Akiva smile again. How for granted I took, I was just thinking as Rafi was setting up the camera tonight, there are people who are watching. Do you know why that there is why you're able to watch? It's because a boy who was in the stampede, Baruch Hashem, survived, Shalem Umbari, because he does it every single week. I never even thought to mention that, to thank him. But now, Meir Virabi, Rav Nevensal Shlita, one of his amazing godliyos is his ability to show honor and respect in an honest and sincere way to every single person. I'll never forget the first time I came to visit him in Chol HaMoed about 15 years ago, and he took us and he introduced me and my wife and children to the Rebbetzin, and he said, "This is Rav Eisenstein. He's my colleague in the Tivarye." He didn't say he's a gaon. He didn't say he's a masvid. But Rav Nevensal said, "He's my colleague. He's my colleague." To appreciate someone who's so much lower than you, yet at the same time say, "He's my colleague." It requires us to appreciate the second point in terms of sensitivity, and that is an individual to be able to notice the needs of others. To be able to have that sensitivity to notice what someone else is going through. Now I'm noticing all these things that I didn't notice before about the people that I was scared about or post facto scared about, still can't recover from. And for some people it comes naturally. They just have an eye. They just have an eye. And for some people, it's harder for them to notice. Well, if the halacha is, if the Torah mandates that we're supposed to set aside time to learn and to daven, then I'd like to suggest tonight that also HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants us to set aside time to notice the beauty and the needs of others. If there's a requirement for time for Talmud Torah, there's a requirement for a person to set aside time for davening, there's a requirement also that during this period of time where HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, as Rav Meir Tzvi said, that we were not noy kavod zeh bezeh, for us to spend a little bit more time to notice the needs of others and to be there for others. And then the last point. If it goes so far that chas v'chalil, on a certain level, we were destroying each other emotionally, as this Gadol B'Torah said, then at the end of the day, we have to entirely re-examine the way in which we disagree with each other. Rav Yaakov Hillel Shlita has emphasized this a couple of times in his shiurim after the tragedy. He's pointed out that there could be machlokios that are serious and sincere. He actually said there were many machlokios beforehand that he felt were shtuyot. And not only were they shtuyot, but people got their egos involved, so deeply enmeshed. What a beautiful Gemara in Kedushin that describes what a machlokios and a Beis HaMedrash is supposed to be. Nasim oyivim zemze, they become enemies with each other, become enemies. Ve'einom zozim misham ad shenasim oyavim zemze. But they don't get up from the seat until they love each other again. If there's any disagreement, even a disagreement that's lishma, machlekes l'shem shemayim, shesayfa l'iskayim, etc., etc., einom zozim misham ad shenasim oyavim zemze. Rav Yaakov Hiller is crying out and he's saying, unfortunately, throughout the Torah world, it's replete. It's not one isolated incident. It's not just one video clip. It's replete with this problem of Einam Zazim Yisram Achinasim Oivim Zemzeh. If HaKadosh Baruch Hu could make it that we could kill each other ba'onis in such a way that hasn't happened in such a long time in history. How do we do that? What happens if we really disagree? What happens if we really, really disagree on fundamental issues? What happens if you have one Messiah, I have one another Messiah? And sometimes there are issues that mamish get to issues that are at the core of our belief system, the core of what we believe is correct. In Ushmartem es nafsho seichem. So that's not easy. Rav Yaakov Hill had less rachmanis. Tim, it's pashut. Einam zazim yisham ad shenasim. Einam zazim, period. So. But sometimes it's a little hard. For us who are a little lower down on the mountain from those other gedolei Torah that we mentioned before. So I'd like to share with you something small in my own experience, which I think is at the core of the Ayin Tova that we've been speaking about the whole time. I once had in my, how they ended up at the same table was interesting, but I had at our house one Shabbos, we had a fellow, fascinating fellow. He was someone who barely knew he was Jewish, who had served as a Marine in Iraq. I made a mistake. Could be because I'm already half Israeli. I said to him, what was the worst thing you saw in Iraq? This guy was like 6'3", bulging. He said to me, Rabbi, you don't ask a real soldier that question. It sounded like he saw some pretty awful things. He was a professional soldier. He had served beyond, of course, he signed up professionally to be part of the American Army. And then he said, he told us over Shabbos, that he did his tour of duty, the war in Iraq ended. He said, I knew I was Jewish, and I said to myself that if I'm a Jew, and there's a Jewish country, then I'm a Jewish soldier. Then I have to go and fight for the Jewish country. So he came, and he was serving in Tzal after serving for quite a few years in the U.S. Army. And he was at our table at the time. And then we had a yeshiva bachar who doesn't serve in the army. Beshita doesn't serve in the army. He's against serving in the army, which I happen to be at times sympathetic for. And he was sitting at our table. And this guy, this Jewish Marine, has no idea. He doesn't know what Chok Tal is. He doesn't know. And to him, it makes absolutely no sense. He said, when did you serve? It was at Mamish Tmimus. He said, I don't believe in serving in the army. And the Marine almost fell out of his chair. This is whole life, is you stand up, you take a gun, and you defend people. And boom. It takes about 2.5 minutes, and they are going at it at each other. The Shiva Bacher is saying the country exists because of my Torah. Not my Torah. No, that wasn't fear. He said we're Zocha to be in Eretz Yisrael because all the Torah that's learned in Eretz Yisrael and all the Ruchni is in Eretz Yisrael. And you are only focusing on the physical and we're focusing on the spiritual. And the soldier is saying back to him, how could you have the world of physical? You living in this world that's entirely spiritual. You're not rooted in reality. You have no sense of responsibility. And what about all the mothers that are sending out their kids? You've heard this all before, right? And just hit me on the spot, Dvarm Pshutim. Just hit me on the spot. I turned to the yeshiva bachar. I said, here you have a fellow who barely knew that he was Jewish. He just knows that he's a soldier and that he's told that he's a Jew. And he comes to Eretz Yisrael to put his life on line. Could you find inside of you real, real respect and appreciation for what he's doing? And the bachar said, yes. I turned to the soldier. I said to him, you don't know, and you don't think that there's a great value for most people to be spending their entire day reading Talmud. I hear that. But can you take a moment and think, what does that Talmud represent? What does that represent about the continuity of the Jewish people? What does it represent about the history of the Jewish people? Is it possible that the only reason you're here is because we've been learning these same holy words, or even legalistic words, for the last 2,000 years? Makaba. Rabosai, the moment in which we internalize what Rav Miller and Rav Meir Tzvi Bergman are saying is the moment in which we say, wait a second, there's a kitrug of lo nagu kavod zeh bezeh, that we killed each other bechenek, beones, coming from the fact that we put each other down and we weren't able to see the beautiful parts of all the different the different components of Jewish life. And what happened was, the list of the 45 Arugim brought together all of those beautiful parts. We read about people whose communities we were entirely not part of. And we read about the Kedusha of them and the sanctity, even though we disagree on fundamental issues. But it requires a koach. And that koach is for a person to be able to work hard on themselves. It's not easy. There's a reason why we got into this problem in the first place. Because it's very easy to slide into a very, very different place. To slide into a place that is self-protecting, that focuses on our own personal needs and our own personal tzibur. And Kosh Baruch Hu is asking us to wake up. May we wake up. May we do tshuva. And hopefully by the time of Kabbalah Satorah to be zocha to what we weren't, what we dreamed for, but we went too far. We went too far because we didn't stop. Ezra Miller said, we didn't stop. And then be able to be zocha to Kabbalah Satorah. All of us together, ba'achdus, ba'achva, v'shleima, b'briyas ha'nefesh, u'briyas ha'guf.